Meeting is May 4th, 2021, 18:15 hours starting. Traffic Safety Committee meeting.
Let's see, where's this at here? Oh, it helps if I get on the right one. There we go. I'll call to order through the approval of the minutes, which I better, we're now in session. I'll get on to old business. And we come to new business, and this is where we elect a new chairperson. And then from there, we'll take it from there. So a call to order, which we did. I asked for an approval of the minutes. Is there a motion?
No move.
Is there a second? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Comments from the audience? No audience, so we'll bypass that. Old business. Dave Cunningham addressed the new signs on Highway 42 near Douglas High School. The committee recommends this type of sign be put on Thompson Street near Winston Middle School and on Carey Street near McGovern Elementary. Bert Tate made a motion to present this recommendation to the City Council. Sharon Rothacker seconded the motion, and the vote was unanimous. Do we have any update on that, Chief?
Yeah, so we did some research on the signs. There's a cost factor involved in this. I talked to the city manager about it after the meeting. We don't have the funding available for it. So with that being said, I think there were around 5,500 assigned. Is that about right? 55, I think, is what the... Because we split it with the Gotham School.
Yeah.
Three-way on the highway.
Yeah, I think they're closer to 8 to 10 a piece.
Yeah, I just remember there's a big chunk of that everyone paid. So
if you're paying, if you're paying by yourself, it's like 8 to 10 a sign.
Yeah, and so with that being said,
talking about two signs.
No, we're talking
each.
One sign.
That's just one.
Yeah, you're talking $20,000 for two sets.
Yep.
With that being said, the only option that I could see available is if the committee wanted to at least review and maybe have the manager talk to the school district. Or I can do it and find out if they're interested in doing a split, but it's still going to be 10 grand for Thompson. So I don't know where we can, I don't know where those funds would come from. I have no idea.
If I may interject there,
yeah.
We did come in under budget. And when we did this initially, we were not in that category where we did not know. And then also, too, if you have read the news review, the city is picking up $1,120,000 of COVID money. We don't have the check in hand. It'll be divided over two fiscal years. And we don't know what the strings are attached to it, if there is going to be any. But what I'm saying is that there's a good possibility that extra monies and everything could be applied to it, plus what other monies that we may have come available. So it's not debt. But at that point in time with this meeting, and what the chief just said, he was exactly correct. Okay, so it's not, I don't think it's a debt issue.
Did anybody look into a Safe Routes to Schools grants?
That I don't know. I believe the school did one on the 42. I don't think they took another funding in there. Did they do that?
The high school doesn't qualify for the Safe Routes.
That's right, because it's a yeah, that's right.
So
I have not done that, no.
So anyway, maybe what we can do is technically just table that until the chief can find out.
Yeah.
And then we can we got a budget meeting tomorrow, by the way, for the annual budget, so that could possibly fall into place there too. Okay, so that's the synopsis on that.
Why are the signs so expensive?
It's DOD's fault.
Yeah, you got labor and materials. The posts themselves are pretty expensive, just to meet safety standards, and then the foundations are also pretty expensive, and then just the fact that you got like the solar panel and does the reading, that kind of the data collection, that stuff, it all adds up kind of.
Okay.
I mean, basically the sign's about half the cost and then the labor's the other half, because it does take quite a bit to get them installed.
There's not too much anymore that's connected with the city that's cheap.
That's
connected with anything.
Yeah.
Right. And honestly, I'd love to see those signs all over. I'd like to see
we do too.
Set up here on 42. I'd like to see it set out on the north end of Main Street. And I'd like to see it set out here on the south end of Main Street.
And then point number two here in old business, citizens concerned for speeding on Abraham Avenue recommend that both sides of Abraham Avenue, a yellow flashing light with speed sign be placed. It's somewhat like what we see out at 42. Chief, do we have any additional information on that?
So look into that maybe our ODOT can evaluate a little bit on that. But we looked at it. I don't remember who I talked to with ODOT. It might have been big guy, Bob.
Bob Seckler?
Seckler. That area in there, there's a huge cost to that sign as well. I think you can get it in solar, but I think a lot of them are, you can get it in solar, but a lot of them are electrical too. You can, I guess it's the halogen ones or whatever. It's driving me nuts. That area on each side, I mean, we're looking at $2,000 or $3,000 at least. And so again, I guess the biggest issue is I don't know where this funding is coming from. I have no idea where the funding is coming from to do these projects. That's the holdup on these.
Yeah.
So, and the other thing to think about too is with those, a lot of data just shows that they have a really good initial impact. But just like anything else, people get used to them,
right.
And then you don't maintain that impact with travelers after a distance.
The road was designed curved like that to attempt to slow traffic down.
Gotcha.
And I think we did a speed study on there, and I don't believe in the speed study that, I mean, it really justified it, if I remember right.
We will come. Yeah,
I looked at so many of them.
You're talking about Abraham now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I know we have speeding cars through there. You know, right. We get speeders everywhere. But I think the numbers didn't justify the means to the cost, you know, the way the cost is.
Isn't electrical hookup also very expensive on that too?
They are, yeah. But I mean, you can get the solar ones, you can get the, you know, the, yeah. I mean, our 85th percentile is 30 miles an hour through there in a 25 zone.
So it's not horrible.
It's not horrible, you know, it's not great, but, you know, I just don't know how to balance that. I mean, you know, I put the radar trailer out, and I got one guy on the street. I mean, and he's at all these different locations, typically handling calls, and not so much on traffic. It's reality.
Yeah.
He tries to get traffic in, and I'm going to go through my traffic stats with you guys here in a bit. But that doesn't justify the means for the cost. So that's kind of where we're at on that.
There are other traffic calming methodologies. Small roundabout with a tree in it, that kind of thing, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That would be a lot less than the sign, and pretty hard to go fast through that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and yeah, it's wide enough, I guess, to look at something like that, I guess. Yeah.
Probably have to replace the trees all the time with people driving into it.
That happens very much, I think.
Oh, I know.
So I don't know a direction to go with that one, honestly. And every one of these things would frustrates me, is I don't know where we're getting the funding to do them.
Well, again, as we mentioned, we have additional funding coming in and things like that, and we get a firmer foundation. We may want to table this because if all goes well, we may know quite soon what our additional funding is, in which we can take a look at it.
Yeah, okay.
And the board would probably go with it since the money would be available. So again, this is not a dead topic at all. So I guess that'd be something that could be tabled.
There are some, I recently got a kit from AARP and Better Block showing how to do temporary measures to try out something like that, like put a temporary roundabout or conditions where you can see what the reaction is. Through the public, and it also brings attention to any other problems that there might be around that area. I could share that sometime.
That'd be a great idea.
But yeah.
I'm just wondering, would that have any issues with striping of the roadway?
Yeah, you can do all kinds of things temporarily. You know, just like if you wanted to try out here, see what would happen if you put in a protected bike lane and also maybe a bulb out for people to cross easier. You know. You can do that in a temporary way with temporary materials and, you know, signs showing change conditions or whatever, and then you can evaluate what happened. I think it's one way to, it brings attention to an area that where you think there might be a problem or there has been, have been, you know, accidents or risks, and then it gives you an idea of what could work, without committing $20,000 for
that's
a permanent
structure.
That's
certainly reasonable. Yeah. You know, the one thing about the on Abraham, though, we would have to be careful about on a roundabout, is that that street is not exactly that wide. And if you got a larger truck or something that comes through there, that they have to have enough space to get around it.
Yeah, well, it always has to be accommodated, be able to accommodate the vehicles. But you can put up a sign that says, large trucks can't come down here.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know why a big truck would have to go there. But
because of moving vans, things like that.
Yeah.
Well, you get log trucks coming out of Looking Glass area that come in through there and headquarters
can
come through.
Yeah, you can use
your phone. Yeah, you can use a Rosemary Forest or something.
Right, yeah. They're supposed to use Brockway Road, but
it's a good idea, though, don't get me wrong. Number three, citizen concern about crosswalks at Main and Baker. When headed south on 99, coming into town, the slight hill makes it hard to see the crosswalk soon enough to safely stop. Suggestions of a signal light before the hill letting the drivers know of an upcoming crosswalk. ODOT determined that there was plenty of sight distance for the crosswalk. ODOT is open to looking at an updated 30-mile-an-hour sign. And B, Bert Tate made it a motion for a speed study to be done first in the area. Judy Odie seconded the motion. It was unanimous from the committee. Do we have an update on that?
So ODOT did the study on it, as it states. I just brought the study to the committee here to review.
So okay, so it's in the packet.
They didn't recommend a light, the distance or whatever, based on, and maybe you can go into more detail, but the distance based on where you're breaking over the hill should give you enough time to stop. So it's not warranted there.
If you're not speeding.
What's that?
As long as you're not speeding.
Right. Right.
Well, it says they're open to looking at an updated 30-mile.
Yeah, maybe your sign or something.
Is it like a bigger sign, a flashy sign? I don't know.
That's not going to help people speeding everywhere.
No.
No. I have noticed that a lot of the pedestrians are not giving notice and not looking.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Some of them don't even push a button for the light to flash.
Mm-hmm. Some of them don't even bother to use the crosswalk.
No.
Right. Well, you know, and going back to doing traffic enforcement, the data entry for the officers now is not as simple as it used to be. The officers now are required to do what they call an Oregon online reporting for racial bias. They're required to download their cameras. They're required to do the back of the citation or FYI warning on every single traffic stop. And with that being said, going out and running traffic for a while can take quite a long time on every single stop. It's all CYA stuff, I get it, but that's reality, is that it slows down doing more stops, is what it does. And so we're trying to look at different areas right now, researching what they call e-tickets. Oregon State Police uses them, and the traffic team for the city of Roseburg uses them as well. And those are it's a program that basically either scans or they enter the driver's license of the person in their computer. It downloads looks like a receipt. You just push buttons for the violation if it's a warning or citation. It auto-populates the driving and car status from LEDs onto it, so it's very quick. Then in turn, it also downloads the Oregon Stop program, which is the racial bias thing. It auto-populates that, but it's $40,000 for the software. Big money. And so, but that being said, that automatically puts it into the court system. It automatically puts it into her record system so that it removes the data entry and frees up
a lot
personnel
of
time.
And there's times. Right.
So yes. When the officer does it, it's assigned for court.
Yeah, it gives the officer more time to do enforcement rather
that's
than
it.
Do paperwork.
And that's it. And that's the that's kind of, you know, I'm not trying to complain. I'm trying to show reality. And it's frustrating to me. I've been very frustrated about it. The direction the country is going on traffic enforcement in general is very frustrating. They're wanting to remove our ability to do it in a nutshell. And so, with that being said, the morale in law enforcement is very low mm-hmm. when it comes to traffic.
Well, it's too much to do.
Right.
You're sending a person out to do a variety of things when traffic enforcement should be its own thing. I mean, it shouldn't be a crime to, if you litter, it's not something you're going to go to jail over, it's a fine. There should be some way to just have a person in a special vehicle that they only issue citations, they don't come with a gun and ready to, drag you to jail. But you drive a car, there are obligations to follow the speed. If you go 1 mile an hour over 40 and it's a 40, you should be getting citation. That's the limit. That's the speed limit, not a suggested mm-hmm. range, When you go above 25 miles an hour in an automobile, you're increasing the likelihood of whoever you hit is going to die.
Sure.
It's only a 10 or 15 mile an hour speed change. If you go 40, the chances of somebody surviving is 10%, 20%? And if you hit them going 20, they have a 90% chance of surviving. So, that 1 mile an hour may seem like nothing, but it's life-threatening. Same with having a phone. I can sit on a corner and write down somebody's license plate when they go by, and they have a phone. Why do I have to have a gun? I can write down the name, take a picture, whatever. So I think that's digitally doing these things. Your phone knows how fast you're going.
Sure.
You got a GPS on that thing. Turn that over, let me scan it and see how fast you're going. Right.
You're talking about several different facets of legal law there.
Yeah.
One is I can't just take someone's phone without a search warrant.
Right.
So what am I going to do? Write a search warrant, go to the judge, have him sign it, and come back and take his phone? I'm like, that's not reality.
There's got to be some way to do it, but I'm just saying it.
Well, I know the answer to it, and it's giving us more officers on the street, and it's giving us better training on the street, and not doing the reverse of what they're doing.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
So
until that comes to realization, apparently, it takes a third grader to figure it out. When that happens, then things will change. And maybe it will go the other way. I don't know, but that's where we're at.
But moving on to new business, and I got to step aside, and this is where you elect a new chairperson, and I have to go down there. Good luck. Just remember the old gladiator salute. We were about to die, salute you.
So we have...
You have a quorum right here.
Three members.
Yes, and that's it. You have it? You have
a quorum. Who's running?
I can't even make a motion. Not at this point.
We could draw straws.
We nominate you.
Does anybody object to drawing straws?
I would think that we got to find out, because with you not being a voting member, we should be able to put the paper for an additional member.
Exactly correct.
I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are correct.
And then you're only a voting member if they're a tie, correct? Well, then you can't have four.
You're right.
I thought you were a voting member if there was a tie.
I'd have to clarify that with
Mark. We need to find that out, yeah.
Because I asked him, I said, is there any way that I can vote? He said, no.
All right.
But we'll clarify that, because that's a big question.
So you can vote.
He cannot.
You can't vote.
Isn't there supposed to be five of us?
There used to be five.
That's what I thought.
But they changed the rules on it, so we used to have five total that were voting.
So is there a job description?
I don't know if they're not. Basically what it does, though.
You mean for the chair?
Mm-hmm. For the chair. Basically, the only thing that the chair does that is different from the other ones is that they go through the agenda.
They're the one that talks during the meeting.
They're the one that talks.
They're running the meeting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it. There are no additional duties beyond that, no car washing or anything like that. Okay, so that's all you do, just like I do, just going down the aisle.
Okay.
Okay, we are meeting on what frequency right now?
Well, our last one was over a year ago, but...
That's because of COVID.
I think we were trying to do it every 4 months.
Every 4 months.
Yeah,
three times a year.
So it's not, they're not fixed dates?
No.
No, we can...
What I'm hoping to do is like one in January, and then one 4 months later, and then one 4 months later. Okay, so we start off the year, so like January, whatever.
So yeah, and what now. She does, she contacts the chair. For dates, things like that, which is amiable, and then goes out to us, et cetera, et cetera.
So, like right now, even though it is May, I'd probably try to time the one a little bit closer to where we're starting that pattern. So, I try to split it up third way, but to make sure we start January of next year.
Right.
And it's all dependent on.
And we need a motion.
Okay, well, I'm still wondering about the frequency of the meeting. So, they're. How long before the city council meetings?
City council's different. It hasn't. I don't.
They don't have to be in
no.
coordination.
No. No, I don't even know. I mean, I don't.
Basically, the way it falls is between. We just had a meeting Monday. Okay, so usually this falls between the meetings.
Okay. The first and third Mondays of the month are typically and council
so,
meetings.
Yeah, so we stay away from that. Because what it does, it allows us to get the minutes back up so I can present it to the council, because that's what I got to do. And then if there's recommendations or something from that, then they can take action on it.
So yeah, and I would probably plan on doing the next meeting like instead of going 4 months, because we're off a month, you know, shortening down to like 3.5 months, and the next one 3.5 months, and the next one in January.
So August or September.
Yeah, and then, you know, October-ish, probably for the last one.
I got a busy August.
And I'm, you know, it can also, I can call, you know, talk to whoever does it and say too, you know, can we push this out a couple weeks? Can we do it in September? Maybe we don't have a lot on the agenda, and we're like, well, we'll do it. So, I mean, it's very flexible. It isn't like city council, it's like super. I mean, we were trying to get it. I mean, Scott was only doing it, what, once a year?
Once a year.
So we were trying to just get more involvement and get more community involvement. So we started to pick up a good pace, and the COVID hit. So this is all new to me, too. So.
And we've been able to get things done. That's the difference.
Yeah.
So somebody has to be nominated now and elected. How are we doing?
We need a motion by somebody.
Well, unless they volunteer.
I'm almost embarrassed to say this, but I'd make the motion if I could remember his name.
Mine?
Yeah.
Bert.
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 So I make a motion to nominate Bert Tate for chairperson.
And I second.
You're now the chair.
Okay.
Congratulations.
Yeah. With that, you can gavel. No, you notice they already had the gavel moved over.
Your name will go to the top of the list on your traffic safety. That's your.
So I can close the meeting now?
We got new business, but that will not take long to do, because I think the majority of it is concerning which is in your packets.
Yeah,
it is.
Yep.
Okay, so we did elect a new person, a chairperson. Okay, data was collected from radar and traffic safety sign, westbound on Highway 42. There's an attach, and I don't know.
Yep, so it's the very first, so it'll be the first packet you come across.
Take that with you and review it.
And you can have things.
And anything that you guys have questions on, you can email us. I'll get the answers for you. If I don't know, I'll find out what they are and get the answers. Because to me, they're a little bit complicated. I'm not a math guy, all right? But they're a little complicated on some stuff. Maybe you folks know it a little bit better than me, but it shows all the data for all of them. So
we are to review this for the next meeting?
So we can review it if that's what you choose to do. We can review the packet and go through the data and stuff. Okay. And then any questions that you want on the next agenda, you can email Sandy. She'll put them on the agenda for new business, and we'll go through those. But if there's something that you folks want to review or talk about, by all means, you can always call me, and we can try to figure out an angle or direction to go with them. So.
Wow, that's a Oh, that's average vehicle, that's max.
Chief, do we capture any data before we install the signs?
Before, I don't believe so, no. If we had some data there from the radar trailer when they were out there, maybe, but we had an issue with our key fob, and it's like a $900 key fob.
Oh, wow.
And it broke on us, and the data that we were collecting during our move to over to the new station, we lost some of that data. Oh. It's in there somewhere. We don't know where it is.
Gotcha.
So we're trying to track some of that down.
So there are three different sessions there over the place.
Yeah, looks like the beginning of three months.
October, November, December.
So that's a pretty good average speed for October. Looks pretty even.
Yeah, I can't believe we're getting people through there in the 90s. That's crazy to me.
Mm-hmm.
And this information doesn't tell you what kind of a vehicle, like motorcycle.
No, it just says.
We hear this one go by once in a while. You can tell it's a motorcycle. Usually about 2 in the morning.
I would think that some of those, when you see it on the radar trailer, when they're real high speeds, I think those are probably motorcycles.
Yeah.
They're mm-hmm. testing their ability, I think.
Gotcha.
They're not a horse and buggy.
It's either that or a trooper heading out 42, one of the two.
So how would you summarize these reports? That we should have a... Well, I mean, I like how the way of slowing down the traffic, or is it within bounds, it's reasonable?
I'm looking for the 85th percentile on it.
It looks like that's the mustard color one, so it looks like we're seeing 53-ish.
Is that the mustard one there, the 85th?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, they have it. Yeah, about 53-ish, somewhere there in the 45 zone.
It looks like that's fairly consistent over the 3 months.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, people just want to go 55 there. They just do. It feels like a general progression,
yeah.
But it's still 45, so...
Yeah, you lose the residence, and the high school's far enough off the roadway where people just don't feel...
Yeah, it's 55 feels
like it's open highway.
Keep in mind, these are probably the same people every day.
Oh, I'm sure.
Okay. It's the same walkers and the same people like me going back to home.
10%, probably the same time or day. The same person is doing the speeding every day. Yeah, I think they can get away with it. So is there anything to move on this? Is there no motion?
If you're able to make that.
Yeah, just information. Now it's going, so if you're headed eastbound, they're coming in here. Well, it's a little bit slower coming into town, but that's just, I think, general. People slow down when they see that 45, and they know they're coming into town,
yeah.
So.
I like how it does the traffic study. I'm glad we got that. I was looking for the full amount of cars in that time frame.
Yes, towards the back there. And that's surprising to me, too. I mean, you see a little bit of, there's definitely an increase for morning commute traffic, but the evenings are way up.
Yeah.
Pay for supper.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if it makes a difference on this report or not, but it has the wrong zip code on there.
Or the wrong what?
Zip code. On the comparison report?
97496?
No, it says 97495.
Oh, it must be how Google pulled it up or something weird.
Because that's Winchester.
No, this is on the software. It's on Google.
Oh.
So kind of review them and just take a look, and if there's any questions, we'll try to answer them. A lot of our citations that we get are in that stretch of 42, and then on the north end of Main. It seems like that's where we get really a lot of our high speeders. But I've been having them focus on the neighborhood areas, especially during the nighttime, which has reduced our cars getting broken into and it all goes together, you know, but I want them to do some enforcement in the neighborhoods. We don't typically get high speeders in the neighborhoods sometimes, but not always. So that's kind of where they've been.
So how much time or what percentage of days of the month do you spend at that particular site where this reported on 42 coming into town and going out of town?
As far as the officer spending time there? Mm-hmm. I have no way of knowing that.
It's not recorded when you...
No, I mean, it literally, they're, you know, when they're... There's really no way, I don't have a designated traffic guy. So he's there for criminal casework, is what he's there for, and he does traffic. They all do during their shifts. It's intermittent, it's kind of in between. It's when they're either going to a call, or if it's not a high call, like sometimes they do a stop, or when they're freed up, they'll go out and work some traffic. But it's all based on caseload, is what it really is. So the officer's caught up on caseload. They go out and play. They go out and start cars. So that's kind of how it rolls. There's no way to really track the amount of time they're doing traffic.
So when you are doing a traffic stop, you're parked over there, do you set a radar gun on the cars, or are you just watching to be going fast?
So each vehicle is set up with a radar unit, which is a mobile or stationary unit. Okay. It's all in one on the dash. They have an antenna that faces out the front of the car. They have an antenna that faces out the back of the car. So if they're sitting sideways and they want to run traffic, I just purchased a new laser. Pretty nice one. It was on sale. A really good laser. It's a handheld laser for traffic enforcement. So I just got it a month and a half ago.
So you can be parked, mm-hmm. or can you be driving behind somebody,
yep.
and or are you just
well,
reading? If it doesn't read its speed, rather like the car ahead of you.
If you're driving and they're in front of you, we don't use the radar.
You just use your speed.
Yes and no. Yeah. So when I evaluate a car that I'm pacing, because we check our radar units to make sure they're working.
Calibrated.
It's not really calibrated, but whatever. So when we do that, when I pace a vehicle, I watch my patrol speed on my radar. I don't watch it on my dash. So when I testify, I watch it on my radar when I'm pacing a vehicle. So I can use the radar calculation based on my speed on my vehicle, their speed when I try to get the proper distance. But if they're coming at me, that is a radar. So I can be moving in the opposite direction of them and I can get them. And then as they go by me, I can do that too. Some radar units have what they call same direction of travel. It's not really recommended in the state to use, but they are capable of doing that, and it calculates the distance between the unit, the patrol unit, and the car as it's closing or falling back to give you the calculated speed.
Okay.
It's very hard to do when you got a lot of traffic.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. So that is the 42 and then the eastbound. Anybody else have questions about the eastbound data? I have to say one thing that I know. We ride bikes and we cross 42 at the Winston section road. And we sit there sometimes 5 or 10 minutes waiting for traffic. This is irrelevant. It has nothing to do with speed, but the amount of traffic going through there is prodigious. It's a lot of traffic, and it slowed down quite a bit the last spring because of COVID, but it has picked up a lot. It's hard to find a
right
break.
You should see some in our radar trailer when we had it out on Main Street and on 42 that it should show calculating in cars. I think it's like 10,000 cars a day.
Yeah. Holy
it's
God.
Out there. Yeah. In between 8,000 and 10,000, I think. And that's one direction, by the way, on the
so one of the problems there is that there are two lanes and you have two, three lanes merging onto that in the first lane. And some people will see you and move over to the first lane so that people can merge in, but a lot of people are just staying in that lane and you have to wait and wait and wait. And anybody going excessively fast is going to make that even more risky because after a while, if you sit there for 2 minutes, you're eventually just going to, oh, I'm going for it. You know, pull out in front of somebody. And if they're going more than the speed, they're going to be on your tail real quick.
Well, and solving that problem, I don't know where we're at with ODOT on that. The ramp that goes underneath the bridge there at the kind of quasi-boat ramp.
Right.
I don't know what the status is on that. Or
I haven't really heard that move forward. I don't know if there was there was like loss of interest in that, but I don't know if that's actually come up again back on the when they're doing the whole corridor review anymore.
Yeah,
I could definitely look into that.
Yeah, that might be something to bring back and let us know, because that might solve some of the problems as far as getting on that side of town.
Maybe even a sign that says merging traffic ahead.
Okay.
Probably move on new business there underneath. That's quite a bit there.
Okay, so that's that. The spot speed measurement report?
Yes, sir. That's what you guys requested last meeting to have done in ODOT.
So this first picture is great. Kind of gives you the, all the way people driving the 80th, 50% kind of like speeds past the high school through town and down the highway.
The recommendation is to...
Well, I don't know what the... I got the speed study back, but I don't know what the answer is from ODOT on that. I mean, we requested a review of the speed. When they asked me, I asked for it to stay. I thought it was a little crazy to go from a 50 zone at Kelly's Corner to a 55 back to a 45 and with the amount of traffic we have. Pedestrians and bikes, the whole Mary Ann, that having it 50 all the way through would be prudent, but I don't know that the study, again, supports that theory. I don't know.
Yeah, but is that, read that part
right there. Well, that whole strip was designed for 55, right? I mean, that's...
Yeah, the roadway is designed for the 55 mile.
That's what people want to do. It feels like 55.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not seeing what you guys have, the report.
No, it's...
You have that one?
This one here?
I was thinking where it says enforcement speed. I thought that's what they were saying, but he says that's what he was saying.
So I don't know what the answer is to that, if that's...
Yeah, normally I thought we normally sent someone back. I don't know with these newer plans, but we used to send someone back saying, you know, whether we agree with the thought or not.
This is what I got back so far.
Okay.
I didn't know if that was...
How long ago did you get this? So the request was...
The request was
last year?
Yeah, it was last year. God, I don't know. It's been since the last meeting. When was the last meeting? What was the date of the last meeting?
Ago, January.
So, yeah, it was somewhere.
So the test was done in August. Mm-hmm. So we probably got it back a few months after that. I've had a lot of this stuff for a long time. So we just...
All right.
Gotcha.
So should I put on here find a request result, request recommendation from ODOT?
No, isn't there also a bus stop down there?
A what spot?
A bus stop.
So going southbound, there is, just past Kelly's Corner on the right. They got to pull up there for buses.
What about the one that's in between Mecklen Bridge and Winston?
Yeah, there's one there, too, on the north side.
Where there's a plaque?
That's a memorial.
It's a memorial? It's just a memorial.
That's a memorial.
That's what I thought. It was like, it looks like a bus stop to some.
No, there's a lot there by the RV park, but that's not a bus stop there.
It's not?
No.
Between, what is that?
Pepsi Road and 511 North Main.
Looking Glass and and Pepsi?
Yeah, it's not. It's a memorial.
Huh.
I know, okay. It looks like him.
There was actually an officer on a bike that worked here that wrecked it, and he actually ended up going brain dead. So
it's just a little bad.
He left this station right here, walked out this door, and rode his bike and had it helmet on. Nighttime, the light.
It was young too, wasn't it?
Yeah, really young. Yeah.
It was actually the brother of the former chief of Roseburg, Chief Birch, Gary Birch is his name.
So, is there anything else to discuss on this?
I would just think that maybe we need to get something back from ODOT.
I wrote a note.
Yeah, that we, you know, either a yay or nay on it. I just don't know.
I mean, just looking at, I think they've changed kind of policy at the statewide level on how you evaluate these, but I mean, I would say, based on the old way where it was 85th percentile, like we used to do it, we would not recommend the change just because people are comfortable driving 60 miles an hour through there.
Right.
So putting in a 50 mile an hour speed sign, all that does is basically, it's not going to change people's habits.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like you were saying earlier, it's, you need to somehow change the...
You got to do something else.
Yeah. Narrow the lanes. You're going to make the road feel like you don't want to drive that fast.
Yeah.
Right. Change the culture of the roadway.
What is the width there? Of course, narrowing it would be, that'd be feedback, negative feedback from the loggers.
Well, I think just like you were saying, I mean, just with that amount of traffic, I think that kind of pushes us more to the upper limit where a road diet would be kind of, you'd have a lot of congestion
right
at that point.
And I do remember they talked about a stoplight.
Yeah, so we're looking.
Range and Rolling Hills.
Yes, and so that's still, we're still looking at that now. There is, we do have a paving project coming through here in the next, I think it's the next two years out or so, 2 to 4 years out, our next cycle. It's paving from Looking Glass Bridge here and going all the way to the freeway. And there's quite a bit of improvements we're looking at doing there. There's talks of actually putting in a center median. So basically cutting off a lot of people doing the left turn movements across there and then a traffic signal, like you said, Rolling Hills.
We have a lot of fatalities and stuff on that.
Oh, that was terrible.
Where is that?
The whole section from Green Bridge to Kelly's Corner, like in a town.
Yeah, it's...
Well, there's going to be more traffic because more homes are going in. I don't know what the count is for the next...
Yeah, they're looking at
about 30 or 40 houses going in down Tokay area.
Yeah.
So if they did a median where you couldn't turn, do people just have to go down to Kelly's Corner?
Certain ones,
turn,
yeah. Right? I mean, there's going to be multiple locations, but not as many as there are now. So yes, and you'd be able to do a U-turn at these signals.
Oh, gotcha, yeah.
So you'd be able to do a U-turn to come back to hit the spots if you couldn't get through on your, if you're driving a certain direction, you can't take a left.
Right. Wow. It's going to be like set up like going into Corvallis area.
Yeah, similar, exactly. But you guys will see a bunch of, I mean, there'll be like a lot of public outreach when this project's kicking off. I mean, there'll be a lot of, you know, that's going to be asking a lot of people questions on, you know, how do people think about this and that kind of thing. So you'll see more coming at you on it. But it's just, I mean, we haven't even kicked it off yet, the project, but it's infancy right now. So we're looking at looking at the different plans we've had. You know, there's different corridor plans that are out there that, you know, we've done engineering studies with. It kind of had people agreed that this would be kind of some ideas we would do moving forward. So we'd be looking at that toolbox and implementing some of that stuff.
Good.
And the traffic signal is definitely one of them. I know I made the mistake of going to get a tri-tip at B&D last week, and I couldn't get out. Like, I guess I'm going to turn right and go back towards Roseburg to turn around.
In that project, do you know if the bike lane underneath the freeway would be in place there? Would that be?
See, there was talks about that earlier on, but I don't recall that coming up recently. But it might just because it's so high level right now, we didn't get that detailed. So I did make a note to see if that's still kind of in that plan.
Because
anyway, we've evaluated that multiple times to get bikes underneath, to get them across there, to get to the bike path.
Right. I've had a lot of complaints over the years just about that.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure.
Specifically that, over the years. Is trying to figure out a way to get over on the other side.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I know one thing, when I was looking at it, some concerns were just getting the bike path out of the floodplain and being able to maintain underneath there. You know, that's the only thing we saw, because if you get it too far up on the bank, then you've got overhead hazards. You know, you want to keep that down low enough where people aren't going to bump their heads on the bridge and that kind of thing.
Right.
But,
well, yeah.
And also, you know, people use that for fishing, so trying to keep that open for multi-use as well.
Right.
But.
Okay, so watch for that. So that's number four.
Yeah.
We're through with that. Number five, traffic study on several locations.
Yeah.
Several.
Yeah, there's a lot.
And you guys can, you know, go through those or whatever and get an idea.
Yeah, there's some that aren't too bad. There's like three that are Glenhart, Douglas, and Maine are all like 10 over.
Yeah. And I did have a complaint last night on Glenhart for speeding. So we're going to do, you know, I'll throw out the extra patrol on the log, and we'll probably get the radar crew out there and do a study on that as well. So that's the plan.
So entities that are really higher priority, is it?
Maine and Douglas looks like the only one. All the rest of the neighborhood ones are great. Even Daryl looks
good.
25 out of 25. Gregory, 25 out of, 25 percentile, or 25 miles per hour and 85 percentile. Yeah, it's just Glenhart, Maine, and Douglas that were 10 and over.
I suspect with good weather, we're going to have speeds pick up as well, like they always do every summer.
How do you get up to 97 miles an hour on Abraham near Pinto?
So, you know, a lot of these that where you get the high speed, like the 106, you know, okay, so radar is what they do. It's called shadowing. And what it does, and the radar trailers aren't against doing that either, but what it does is it calculates the speed against itself in theory.
Yeah.
And so it duplicates the speed on a car. It happens, and it happens on our mobile units as well.
So in other words, an error?
They do that, yeah. Now with this, I think it's an error. I don't think there's 106 there. So, but it doesn't mean, you know, like 148 high speed.
What?
Like Serengeti.
It was just one.
Right, and so that's telling me
it could have been a motorcycle, yeah.
But I'm thinking those are errors.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Yeah, that's flying 148.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's.
It's possible though.
Not in my truck.
West on Douglas, 106. So should we just go over these on our own and then make a...
Any notes?
Yeah, if there's anything you want to bring back to the table on it to review, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
And number six was a citizen concern.
So this stack is...
the same thing.
Yeah, this stack has three different concerns, and this one is a whole group collective, like that girl is here. So the first three are your first A, B, and C, I think. Yeah. Yeah, and then this would be B. And then E and F were put in by Chief. Anybody knows Terry Fink, but she just got out of the hospital. She had surgery for cancer, and she seems to be doing well. So she, I'm pretty sure she's had colon cancer, but she comes to these a lot. If you remember her,
Abraham and Timothy, three-way stop there. I just don't know that that's a good idea. I don't know if it falls under the rules for signage that would be an appropriate area for a stop sign or three-way there.
That'd be great there, but coming up to a stop.
You're talking about...
But I don't know that it's feasible.
Which street?
So on Abraham.
Right in the
so
middle.
So driving
out
Abraham towards Looking Glass, there's a cross street that goes from Looking Glass down to Abraham. They're looking at wanting to have a three-way stop there.
So and it's kind of right in the middle of the S.
Yeah.
There's Timothy hits Abraham.
I don't know that that's a good idea.
again, I'm not a sign guy, so I'm not sure on what the rules are for that, but.
That was like where they did the, when they did the reconstruct, where Looking Glass is no longer the through? Is that the spot?
No.
Or is it somewhere else?
It's in between Looking Glass and 42. It's like right in the middle. Timothy hits right into Abraham.
Okay.
Kind of where the field is right there.
Yeah.
So,
it's the S corner.
So maybe you can't have one in an S corner because it's
probably would.
I think you'd have more people rear-ended than you would.
Yeah, yeah, that's
right.
True.
Anything else?
Yeah, now that I think about it.
Especially with DEC co-op going in there.
Right.
And then also too, there's a possibility that across the street from DC Co-op is a RV resort that might be going in there.
Mm-hmm.
And so that could change the traffic pattern there at Abraham and Timothy.
What's the zoning?
The zoning, it's zoned, that area there that I just mentioned by the RV park, it's zoned for an RV park. Okay, the zoning is where it should be. And with DC Co-op going directly across the street, that's putting the stop sign pretty close to Timothy and each of those businesses there.
Yeah, you're right.
So that could present a problem. It could be a easily misplaced stop sign.
Good point.
With that note, with the stop signs that we had put on at Cary Street and Tumlin, I've had zero complaints on speeding, just so you know.
There'll be other complaints in that area, but coming up.
Yeah. Remember, that's the one that we discussed before that got through the council and was taken care of. So
yeah.
That one was from the traffic committee was quite successful.
Very successful.
So I don't know what. What do you guys want to do with the this first complaint on the three-way stop?
Three-way. I wouldn't recommend it.
I'm not familiar with it. I have to see it.
Well, if it's in the S, I would not recommend
it. It is.
All right. I'll let her know.
Does anybody know what the 20 is plenty signs are? What's the origin of those? There's a bunch on Rob Rose's and on the Winston Section Road there. Well, I'm all for them. That,
yeah.
It says 20 is plenty, you know, big 20.
Is it a homemade sign?
Yeah.
No. Well, it could be, but it's well done. It's
five. Bro's Eye is a homemade sign.
Oh, but
there's
those
several
ones, yeah,
of them.
Those are homemade. Yeah, I've seen
that.
Yeah.
I haven't
it
seen
those means that they're saying it's plenty speed.
Yeah,
please only go 20.
Yeah.
It's right across from the 25-mile-an-hour sign that's right there by Bro's Eye. There's 25 on one side, and in their yard they have 20 is plenty.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I went into Bro's Eye the other day, and they had three or four, like, collected and leaning against the wall, like they might have been sort of, but it says the beacon on the bottom of the printing.
And maybe something like when Bro's Eye does certain events, then they are saying, gosh, we don't really want to go 25 when there's like kids there for kids or stuff.
Yeah,
so
that,
probably,
I've never seen that, but maybe that's why they did
maybe
that.
Maybe that's where
but
they
it is
pull
stuck
them.
Out there, and I'm all for that,
yeah.
Actually, because I go 25 there religiously, and people are always, you know, up on my tail.
Mm-hmm.
Faster. Is there anything else for us then?
So this one's actually going to tie into this next to the last one. So if you want to kind of just skip the second page, that's going to be all part of this other big packet that was signed by all the citizens. So if you just want to go straight to the Winston Section Road one.
I don't know. It's 1453 in the city.
I don't know.
I don't know what it is.
I have no idea. I'm pretty sure Linda Hicks is in the city. Because I feel like we deal with her in some way, shape, or form. She's one I know about getting a street light in her area.
Where on Winston Section Road is she?
Well, it's going to be on the lower end.
Over by Pepsi?
No.
No, no, it's going to be on the opposite.
So 15, so it's going to be almost down by, what's that road? Starts with
Parkinson.
Parkinson. So she's probably just on the edge of the city limits down by the river.
The
right?
chances are she's not in the city. Mm-hmm.
So 15, the Francis, 15787's here, and that's in the city.
That's this section. But this, that's this house right here.
Where
are we? Yeah, right here.
Oh.
This is all outside the city, past that Harlem house. And that's the church.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So yeah, it might not be. Maybe she's talking about just somewhere that's still in the city. I don't know.
So they're requesting a 25-mile-an-hour...
A street light.
An actual street light.
Oh.
Well, that's expensive.
And I don't know that we have any street light. Well, I can tell you that I think the street light stopped just past the park there on Thompson. But I don't know if there's any street light past that. I think the last one's by Parkway.
There's one across the street from me that works part-time.
Where's that at?
On the corner of Edgewood and Hall.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think there's any on Wesson section that I'm aware of. Though.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And that's in the city limits?
It's right on the border. I don't know exactly. I don't have the actual address, but I don't think it is. I don't think the roadway is.
And if that is indeed the case, would that be a
county?
So we'll check.
Right. We'll check on the address and see.
And is there anything happening in that area, like a lot of burglaries or drug trafficking or anything?
It just gets dark down there.
It gets dark.
It's just dark.
That's where you bought your house.
It's
dark in a narrow roadway is what it is. Mm-hmm. And I understand your points. I just don't know that. I mean, I know that we have the whole lower section of Thompson does not have streetlights on it. So at nighttime, the whole section down there doesn't. So I know we have some on the other neighborhood section, but nothing there. And then I don't believe there's any streetlights on Winston section all the way to 4K. So yeah, I don't know that it's prudent. Again, I'd like to see streetlights all around town, honestly, but I don't know, cost effective wise, I don't know.
I think some of those new houses coming off, they just come into Winston section. I think some of them have those big lights on their garages.
Okay. We'll check and see if this address is in the city or in the county. If it is in the county, we'll refer them to the county traffic safety.
Are those signs that are on Winston section, are they valid? Is that, some are pretty old. But it goes,
as far as being legal, that I don't know. I know that.
No, I mean, just if that is the true end of the city limits on, if you go out there.
So the section of the city stops where Hooton Road is, so that little sharp corner right there, there's a big section that's not in the city, and then there's a piece that's in the city, and then the rest of Pepsi all the way around is not in the city. But yet we have property on the opposite end of the roadway itself is not, a lot of it. So like Rosai at Rosai Orchard, that's not the city. We patrol that because we go through there all the time. Right. And so we do traffic enforcement on that roadway pretty constant.
Right.
So.
Yeah, that's where a lot of the traffic's coming from, all those new homes.
Right. I mean, we use that. That was our way to get our DUIs and our suspended drivers. They'd always go in the back into town. We just knew that. That's what we do. So we're always out there getting them that way. So.
Okay.
So. Don't you have a map that shows Winston and what is and isn't? In
we
there?
Do, yeah. This one actually will show some of it here. So right here, just before Hooton Road, this whole section's outside the city, all the way down to there. Cola, those residences are on the county. We have the residents on the left side of Cola, and then we have the RV park, but we don't have the roadway. So the roadway actually on Rosai Orchard goes all the way up to where the hill is. Breaks over is the sign. It's an old sign, a city limit sign. That's still current. So, but that whole section's not until we get here. But we patrol it as it is. Hooton Road, none of it's in except the very last house on Hooton's in the city. So it's all broken up. You just kind of learned it over time. So.
And I think the people that are inside the city limits have city sewer, and the ones outside don't.
Wouldn't surprise me.
I think that.
Yeah, it was all broken up over the years there.
Yeah,
you know? And so
I think that's what happened.
Yeah. A good example of that is called Edgewood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's gravel. And house A's in the city, house B's in the county, house C's in the city.
That's what's been happening out here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Edgewood on the other side.
That's correct.
Of Thompson.
Yes.
And then
not
we got
my
a house,
side.
We got a house right on the corner that's not, it's completely island, and it's not in the city, but all around it is.
Yeah.
And it drives us crazy.
Weird.
and actually the manager's been working on it. A lot of this area over here, that were all island properties, this is all in the city now, this section. And it was all broken up. Shareways in the city now. So a lot of these little island spots have all been taken in. So he's been doing that. I tried to get this section here in the city on 42. I used to write citations out there like crazy, not knowing it wasn't in the city, in the municipal court for years. I'd call that my honey hole out there, and I'd stop cars, and I tried to get that section across the roadway itself, because our city line's out just past the scales, but it's the property, it's not the roadway. So I was just trying to get us to get people to slow down there, because we have fatals there all the time. So,
right. So is there a anybody have any questions about these? Are we supposed to make comments on these? Or?
Yeah, any comments that you guys recommend, I'll return to the people that are making a complaint. So
I'd like to go see these sites, since I'm not familiar with these streets. I'd have to physically go there.
But sure. Well, you can hold off on any comment and review it and bring it up next meeting.
As a suggestion from the floor, it's not a bad idea, because it gives you a chance to go off and take a look at it and everything.
Like hold off?
Yeah, I think so. Are you familiar enough with those areas? Or would you like to look
at them? Not with all of them, no.
Yeah, I would like to see them up close in person.
Sure. Well, I'll have you guys, if you don't mind, go through all the complaints, look at them, and then the next meeting we can review them. Would that work?
Yeah.
Instead of trying to hack them out now?
Right.
All right.
Okay.
I have on item E, when you're ready for that, it's a complaint that I actually got from my staff. We're going to review it.
Oh, okay. So can I just explain this one then? So you said you guys are going to review it. This next one is a whole, like, neighborhood, I guess? So she was awesome. She kind of explained her problem.
All
this
right.
One would be a great one to look at. She had all the people sign it, and then she did a nice little key. I mean, a nice little thing that has a key, because I'm like, it's down here. It shows kind of everything that's going on. And Parker's been kind of trying to keep an eye on these travel trailers or things on the streets that are parked, and we've been checking out the area. But that would be a really good one to look at, I suppose. And then give us your feedback, because she went pretty hard on that one.
And you'll see the RVs, I believe one of them was moved since that picture. There's another one there that I gave direction to our ordinance guy to deal with yesterday. So I don't know where we're at on that, but it'll be remedied.
Okay. So is that it?
Could you clarify what you mean by intersection does not fit road traffic requirement?
Oh, that's the one he's starting with right now, is E and F.
Yeah, this is the difference.
Oh, okay.
Okay,
yeah.
So this is one, one of our former troopers that I hired on as a school officer was a traffic guy, right? He reviewed the intersection on Carey Street, the one we just had installed. The markings on the intersection are not done properly. So the stop line is not in good shape. The skip line in the middle of the intersection is still, it's just painted black over it, not done right. The stop signs themselves are, but people that are driving down that road, if you're not looking for the stop sign, it looks like a continuous roadway. So it needs to be designed to either look like an intersection. I don't know if it needs a crosswalk across one of them for the kids to go to school, to because that's the other part of this issue, is that that roadway on Tumlin, which is at that intersection that goes to McGovern, is a broken down roadway.
Bad.
That looks like they've done, what's the gravel?
Like a chip seal?
Chip sealed over the years. And then it's just broken off on the sides. The school officer told me that the kids, the buses, the cars that are going in, they're all weaving in between each other to try to get to the school. So I'm bringing it to you folks so we can kind of talk about it and come up with an answer or decision or direction, I guess, that we can push towards council.
That sounds like a really good one for the Safe Routes to School program too. I mean, that seems like that'd be a really good need.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It seems like the city of Winston would do well qualified for the Safe Routes to School stuff just with our...
What's it called?
Safe Routes to School. And I have a contact, Sandy, within ODA that would help you kind of get through that. Cool. I know this round is already closed and they're going, but there'll be another round.
Oh, cool, yeah.
This is a grant.
Yes. It's a pretty small match, I believe, for the cities to match it. But it's a really good program. There's one going on right now there in Green.
Right.
The Knife River's working on that. That was one that qualified, and they
yeah.
They oh, so this could be used for
the making a complete street there with sidewalks.
Potentially. It's usually more for like sidewalks or, you know, paths, that kind of thing. But I mean, depending on, there's a chance you get some kind of a signage out of it as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll email you. So you have my work email,
yeah,
and then you can forward
me
that.
Yeah. Well, I think I have Rose responded to you.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I have that
it's
one.
Just so weird. I'm not used to ever calling you Glenn. So.
No, exactly. She knows me by my alias.
Yes. That's why I never really connected the dots.
So I'll get her information to you. And I think I got some pamphlets and that kind of thing. I'll just kick to you too. And then.
Okay, sounds good.
So can you clarify again where that intersection you're talking about? That you
so the one that we had repaired on Carey Street for the speeding issue that really wasn't, I found out that it wasn't an appropriate place to have a controlled intersection there, which I didn't know. Again, I was trying to figure out how to solve a speeding problem. But I was envisioning not only solving the speeding problem, but allowing cars to at least watch out for kids too. You know, having kids walking through there and cars racing down that hill, I thought it would benefit both areas, which it has. But the problem is that the intersection itself is not the skip line. Again, is marked with paint, black paint, and so it does. You still see it. I guess they're called stop lines. The white lines in front of the intersection or in front of the stop signs, they're not done properly. They're coming apart. I think they just painted them. So it needs to be reevaluated. I don't know if it needs more signage. I don't know. Maybe stop ahead. Maybe not. I don't know if we need a crosswalk there for the kids to get across the road. I mean, if they're having a problem on that road that's going to the school, I would think that they're having a problem, you know, right there on Carey Street too. So.
Yeah.
Is it a four-way now?
Yeah, it's a four-way now. Yeah, we made it a four-way.
So I think if you brought the four-way intersection up to standards, I wouldn't think you necessarily would need a crosswalk. I mean, every intersection is a crosswalk anyway, legally.
Right.
So if you did have a controlled intersection, it seems like a crosswalk wouldn't be super important, but
right. And they have
but definitely the stop bars are a huge importance, and then making sure that the stop signs are large enough in a good location to see and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But
okay, so
and you can do the stop ahead signs if you're thinking there's not a lot of sight distance. You can
there
have
actually
ahead.
Really is.
It's a long stretch.
So I think I've been through there. It seems like it's pretty straightforward. So I wouldn't think you'd need to stop ahead. It seems like it'd be
right.
You can see it.
Stop ahead.
So
this needs to be designated a little bit better, maybe with the markings on the road.
There'll be something public
right.
works might be directly or indirectly involved.
So they did put it together the last go around. It's we did it on the cheap. There's no money for it, so we didn't put the actual.
You know the legend material.
The material. I guess it's like $600-$700 for these markings. I didn't even know that. So that was not done. It was painted, I believe, on
gotcha.
It.
Right.
And it says it's coming apart. So that's kind of where we're at on that.
So could we make a recommendation for someone
yeah,
to look
like
at that?
I'd like to
go,
have
so
some
what
feedback.
It needs and...
A recommendation for the council.
Yeah.
Okay. So feedback. One more. Okay. Are we done?
I just want, what's your guys' recommendation on that? Do you want me to
have it looked at and see. I mean, I don't know who would look at it to see what it needs and.
Well, it'd be probably our public works, but it depends on, I guess what I'm looking for is maybe some sort of action to council to see if we can't get it paid for, to have the actual striping put on that intersection. We did a lot of work, we paid for the signs. There's money involved in that project, but if we did it on the cheap, right?
So, yeah, well, that's gotta be the minimum, right?
Yeah, our recommendation would be to look at it, what's needed improvement and what can the city afford to do their, like.
I hear that there's more money available than
the easiest way to do that is recommendation to the city and what you feel that needs to be done. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And put it forth that way, and that way when it comes up for discussion, then that opens it up to what we discussed here.
And do they have to like
say yes, go for it. Look at the study, see how much it's gonna cost.
So I just put recommended, we don't have to have like a vote or anything.
And then a motion second.
I don't know. These are so new to me. So it's just recommended.
Yeah. That's all the board can do is recommend.
Okay.
So that's about it, I think.
What about tumbling down to the school? Do you want that?
Yeah.
I'll get that email.
Yeah.
And we'll review that. I didn't even know that there was, I heard you bring it up, and I didn't know what that was.
That street's been bad for years.
Oh, yeah.
What about T Street? No one ever talks about T Street. That's something that they.
Another topic.
That street's terrible. It's never been made.
I will tell you that the cost of doing
that's
streets
by
is
their
huge
apartments,
money.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it's like just potholes and rough. I mean, it's just like,
but
I've been here 15 years. And
the problem with the streets is the underground work that needs to be done before the street's done.
Mm-hmm.
And it's huge money. I mean, huge money. And so they got projects, they got a plan, they got a street plan that they're working on, and they're doing them chunks at a time as they get the funding to do it. Is really how it's going down. And they're working on the east side of town right now.
And that little bit on the east
they
side of town is $270,000.
Because all the sewer,
just for that little bit.
All that needs to be replaced.
Yeah. What happened to monorails? I thought we were all going to have monorails.
That's after the subway. But anyway, if that's it.
So, okay, meeting's adjourned.
Oh, thank you.
You get to do this?
Thanks for being volunteer.
And this will be the end of the traffic safety meeting at 7:28.